Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening to you. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Hogate on this Thursday evening, a rainy one in Lansing. Thanks so much for joining us. On today's program, some of those in Michigan that live in our rural areas need to drive as much as 2 hours to see a doctor. Why are doctors not working in these areas, and can that be changed? I'll be joined by the dean of the soon-to-be-opened Central Michigan University College of Medicine. And also, a lack of exercise killing as many people as smoking? Yeah, that's what a study released this week found. But what are we supposed to do about it, other than do some exercise, of course? I'll be joined by a primary care physician to find out if he has any luck in motivating his patients to do just that. But first, they met for just a single day this week. So just how productive was it? Lansing lawmakers in session yesterday, and while there was some negotiations on the teacher retirement system changes that are being proposed, nothing was finalized there. To talk about what did get accomplished, along with a few other issues as time allows us, I'm joined by Bert Johnson, Democratic State Senator from Highland Park. Bert, thanks so much for joining us on WILS once again.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Just a single day of session, why not make it a half week and stay in session through Friday?
You know, I'll tell you, for all of the negotiations they tried to cram into yesterday, that's precisely the statement that I made on the floor of the Senate. We should have been there for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, with the variety of things that they asked us to consider, the Republicans, that is, and the way that they tried to have these conversations politically. There was too much stuff to push into one day.
So what was actually accomplished yesterday?
Well, not enough. You know, Detroit continues to struggle with an issue related to her income tax and rollbacks, and we've seen since July 1st that we've rolled back from 2.5 to 2.4%. That might not look like a lot on paper, but what it means to the city of Detroit is we're hemorrhaging about $9 million each time our rollback takes us a tenth of a percent backwards. We did not make any movement on the Detroit Public Lighting Authority, which is in desperate need here in the city of Detroit. And we certainly didn't finish the MIPSTERS conversation. And for Democrats, that might not be the worst thing because we're looking to protect some folks as well.
Did the House pass any legislation?
You know, at about 5 o'clock, I was told that the House maybe passed just a small handful of legislation. I don't necessarily know what came out of the House, and therefore it didn't make for the most productive of days. And like I said, with everything that was proposed to be done yesterday, it sort of fizzled out.
Okay, now the teacher retirement changes, the system changes that are proposed. I know on the Senate side there's this move to do this full 401k retirement system. The House wants to do a hybrid system. Where is this leaning now?
Well, I think we're going to have to do the hybrid system because, frankly, the 401k system might, in fact, cost us more money down the road, given the state's the state being wedged with a particular amount on a contribution when a person offers something up for their own savings. And so we got to really be smart about this. And, you know, I never thought that I'd be in some kind of agreement with Mr. Nixon, our budget director. But I think he's right on this one, that we've got to slow down a little bit and get this right if we're going to be changing the entire program.
So in the Senate, what was the most significant piece of legislation that moved through the Senate yesterday?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, there were a couple of packages. I don't know that they were extremely significant. I think that there were just some small things that were sort of laying out there. You know, the Senate and the House are very good. I know I'm telling on myself, I'm a part of government, but we're very good at sort of camouflaging a hard day's work. There's enough stuff to be passed that you can do it in an innocuous way without really touching big issues. And that's really what yesterday was about. Make no mistake, we were there yesterday to do MIPSTERS, teacher retirement. We were there to deal with the Public Lighting Authority for the City of Detroit and the City of Detroit's income tax, and none of those three happened.
Now, the health care exchange, the state health care exchange, the holdup is in the House, right? On the Senate side, you guys are ready to move forward.
Yeah, we are. And I think most of us understand that, you know, no matter what your political misgivings might be with what is happening with the Affordable Care Act being upheld at the Supreme Court or the state's obligation to fix what needs to be fixed on the healthcare exchange, I think everybody understands we got to get moving on it, except the House today.
Now, I wonder what you think about the fact that small businesses are concerned about this healthcare law. They're especially concerned about this massive tax that insurance companies are going to now be faced with. It's known as the HIT. They say it's going to be passed right along to them. It could affect their business in all kinds of drastic ways. Certainly will cost them quite a lot more potentially. Do you think there should be something done to protect small businesses in Michigan from this potential tax increase?
Yeah, I think there's, you know, if we're really being fair. Now, you know, small businesses are the lifeblood of any community that's doing well. And so we don't want to put them in a position where they're going to see their businesses slide, they're going to see their customer bases erode. So I think there ought to be some protections. But, you know, this is America, and we have become known as the nation that passes on costs, and usually they pass all the ways to customers. And so it is time that we give customers a little rate relief, a little relief in the area of having to pay more money. But we do need to pay attention to what could be a negative effect or negative impact on the businesses. I don't necessarily know what that complete fix is today, but I suggest that a few good Democrats, a few good Republicans in a room, we might come up with something good.
I'm talking to State Senator Bert Johnson from Highland Park. I had a member of Rainbow Push on yesterday talking about this effort to put this repeal of the Public Act 4, the emergency manager law, on the November ballot. You know, he said that school districts like Highland Park are actually better off potentially going bankrupt than having an emergency manager take over. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think I understand why some people are saying that. Bankruptcy always appears to be much more clean. But then there are some negative impacts that maybe some folks don't necessarily calculate for in bankruptcy. Bankruptcy has a judge, has a number of creditors, has a number of people who just see black and white, don't necessarily take into account the social implications. And you're not just talking about a family, it's bankruptcy. You're talking about a city, you're talking about a school district. I'm not saying that bankruptcy isn't the better way, because frankly, I don't agree with anything that Public Act 4 forecasts. And frankly, for people who are in earshot of the radio listening to you, people need to know that Public Act 4 needs to be on the ballot already. We did the work, it was done proper. This font size argument that's got us before the Supreme Court is ridiculous.
But this proposal, right, it's just on Public Act 4. Essentially, we'd revert back to the previous EFM law that was in place.
Well, that's not been proven to be the effect of repealing Public Act 4. In fact, there might not be any precedent in Michigan set that suggests that when you, by voter turnout, push back a law, that you revert to a law that's been abolished by the creation of the new law. And so, you know, this is new territory for us here in Michigan.
Okay.
But I tell you, it has to begin with letting the voters take a stand.
But I just want to get an understanding. I mean, obviously, you're right there in Highland Park. Wouldn't the community be very adversely affected if this EFM law were to be repealed and the school district were to, in fact, go bankrupt?
Well, here's what I'm saying, and I understand your question. I think Public Act 72 gave a city like Highland Park some really good things to work with, some real assets. We may, in fact, have had the only Public Act 72 situation around the state that actually worked when we had Art Blackwell, despite what people tried to do to him in court. We actually got rid of our debt, stabilized our budget. We actually funded our pension system. We did that under PA 72. I'm saying that can happen still with the other cities and school districts. So if we reverted to PA 72, wouldn't be the worst thing in life.
Now, you are running for Congress. The Michigan Campaign Finance Network came out with some interesting campaign funding numbers. These incumbents are making so much more money. In fact, you're going up against John Conyers. He's, so far as of the end of June, raised $708,000 plus. You've raised $84,000. So how are you going to compete with his ability to outspend you in such a dominant way?
Well, number one, I think John Conyers' best years are absolutely behind him. While I give him a lot of love and respect for what he's done for the country and this community, I think his ability to actually manage what's in front of him is behind him. But having said that, I did not stop raising money at this last cycle, which ended June 30th. In fact, it's been a very good first half of July. And so we'll have the money to go up on, do media, and to do all the other outreach things that we've been able to do to this point. But I'm going to tell you something. The hand-to-hand campaigning, the Retail Politics 101, that we've been doing and are going to continue to do is going to win this election.
You think, though, when you see incumbents that have $1 million-plus going up against challengers with maybe 12,000 or so, I mean, even with the hand-to-hand politics right on the ground, I mean, aren't you going to ultimately face these TV ads and be easily beaten that way?
Well, no, because we're going to be on TV as well. And so I'm preparing to spend somewhere north of $50,000 on TV. We've raised a considerable amount of that money to do just that. And, you know, some key endorsements put us in a position to do that, the Detroit Regional Chamber and some other folks around town. So, you know, John Conyers, he won't be the only one up on TV in the 13th Congressional District. As a matter of fact, I've cut commercials already, and so we're looking forward to going up and showing folks who we are as well.
Just a couple of minutes left, so I do want to get to your Family Education Leave Act. Is that an act you proposed this week then, or has it been out there?
Yes, we actually turned that bill in yesterday. I'm going to be working with State Representative Jim Ananick. He's a great guy, and he's been a teacher himself. But this is an opportunity really to put young people in a position to have their parents doing the things that we all think parents should do in school without them being penalized at work.
But this is requiring employers to allow employees to have this unpaid leave time up to 10 hours for each child in any academic year. I mean, should we be getting involved within a business when really it's something that a business and an employee can easily work out?
Well, I think so, because number one, we made it unpaid so that we wouldn't interfere with the amount of money that they had to spend on an employer. We thought that would be wrong. But I need to say it like this. For all the inner city and rural school districts that are experiencing huge challenges, we have to find a way to marry parents back to the school districts and the school buildings so that they can support what's being done in those buildings. If that happens, then what I think will be the net effect is that parents will help to improve the self-esteem of their children in the classroom. And
okay.
That's different than what happens in the house.
But you're essentially having an employer. An employer would have to allow this employee this time off, even if the employee may be essential to the business running.
Well, you look at it like this. You're talking 10 hours, one school year, 180 days. It's very, very easy to find those 10 hours in there. You're talking a couple of PTA meetings. You're talking a couple of, what do you call them, when you go and see the teacher.
A parent-teacher conference.
You're even talking about some. I mean, it's such a small amount of time. It sounds like a lot. It really is not. I volunteer and do it at my children's schools, and I can tell you, it's just not missed.
But isn't this something employers are readily working out with their employees right now?
Some, but not all. You know, very hard. And I don't want to single any of our automakers out, but very difficult to believe that you could punch in and then punch out for an hour and then punch back in without some type of problem if you're working at one of our major autos. And some businesses just don't make the allowance for it. We're not talking about all of them, but we do want businesses to take a keen interest in what happens with our children in school and their parents' involvement in their educational lives.
I mean, there's so many details, though, in terms of when the time can be taken, how much control will an employer have. I mean, if we're setting a state law now giving these employees time off.
Well, and then the other side of it is that every decent piece of legislation that's introduced can be turned great when it's introduced and in work groups. So I'm looking forward to working with our business organizations and everybody who has a hand in this or some sort of skin in the game to make it come off proper. I don't intend to mess anyone over in the process. So I expect that we're going to get a healthy set of bills out.
Has the business community responded at all to this proposal?
Not just yet, but I'm sure I'll hear from them in the next couple of weeks. And that's why we introduced it as we went on another small break. We expect that folks will digest new bills, and then we'll get calls, and then we'll call them, and we'll get into a work group, and we'll figure some things out.
I see. Now, you're campaigning, obviously, but what are other Senate members doing with all this time off now?
Well, I'm sure they're, like I am, spending time in meetings, community meetings, and church groups and organizations. Listen, you go anywhere around the state of Michigan, particularly in an area like Detroit, there's a whole lot to do from a grassroots perspective. So we're kept busy down here, and it's just one more opportunity for us to connect with voters.
And you're back in Lansing when?
And sometime in mid-August, I think the 15th.
I see another short session there.
Yes.
I see. Well, short and sweet, I guess. Bert Johnson, Democratic State Senator from Highland Park. Bert, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Thank you, as always, for having me.
We'll be right back to talk about this new study finding that a lack of exercise is killing as many people as smoking. That is crazy, but that apparently is the truth. We'll find out what doctors can do about it and what you can do about it. That's next. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS.